We'll keep hoping. It's the news, according to me. Yeah, good morning. It is Shabbat Shalom, everyone. It's Saturday morning. Unusual time for a broadcast for this particular podcast. I guess you want to call it broadcast, podcast, whatever you call it. It's casting out there. Like a fisherman throws, casts out his lure. Tries to lure you in to bite that bait. Get hooked. Get reeled in. I don't know where this is going. welcome aboard, everybody. It's Saturday morning. It's June 11th at 8:23 a.m. 2022. I'm going to be heading off to Atlanta later today, and that's a trip. I don't like going to Atlanta anymore. I don't like going anywhere anymore, for that matter. I like going on my boat. I like sitting on my boat. I don't like working on my boat. I'd rather work on my boat, actually, than go to Atlanta. A bad day working on the boat is still a better day than sitting in Atlanta. At least where I sit. It's not that Atlanta itself is bad, well, necessarily, but it's where I have to be, and what I have to do there is not pleasurable. It's like work. It's more like work down there. Most of my life has been on vacation. It's just been like I've just been retired most of my life. And not that retirement is a vacation. I'm just saying, for those of you who are retired, I just keep stepping in here this morning. The main thing, though, however, is what is in my cup. And unfortunately, I don't have much. But I do have a massive cup. The cup itself is more glorious than what's in it today. It's a big blue cup. It's one of those that it's made like at the bottom of it's made to go in a regular drink holder, but then the rest of it is like a huge, big gulp kind of thing. But it's metal. It's an insulated cup with a special top on it. I bought an aftermarket top because this is so much better. I can put a straw through the top here thing, do this whole thing. And it's also got a place where you can sip through it. It's got this little flap for putting over where the straw goes in. And I got a metal straw with the little silicone top thing for me. So it's delicate on my lips. You can hear it banging around here probably with the microphone. It's quite impressive. It's got my name engraved on it. I did that myself. I engraved that on there. It was powder coated. I got it engraved. I have a little laser engraver. A little 100-watt CO2 laser, for those of you who don't know what that is. I was going to go for the 40. But, 40s, that's not enough power, so I went, I went off with more power. I went with the 100-watt, got a 100-watt CO2 laser. Anyway, that's what I did. I got the cup there. It's got water in it. That's all it's got. We did have ice, but I put ice in there, and then I didn't put enough ice in there, apparently, because when I put the water in, it wasn't cold enough to... Oh, no, there is a little ice in there, I guess. Yeah. That's my story on my cup. There you go. That's the Saturday morning's cup story. Now you've got it. Now your life is complete. Your week is complete. Now you can go on with all your frivolity over the weekend, your weekend frivolity that you have. We have a great show for you here today because there's not much to talk about. I did mention at the end of the last show yesterday morning, that there could very well be an extremely high, not a cure for cancer, but certainly the hopes are that this thing beats certain types of cancer, like, amazingly. It's a monochromal treatment. I don't even know what that means. I can't spell it. But it's a treatment that apparently has, in rectal cancer, has... had 100%, 100%. A friend of mine went through this. His life is forever changed. It's not good. The operation he had to have and everything it had to do wasn't good. And he He's younger than me. And this treatment would have completely gotten taken care of everything he had without, and basically wouldn't have had to have the operation. Probably. Out of the 12. Now, they said the one report had kind of a discrepancy whether there was 12 people or 14 people. I think 12 people were actually in the study and 2 people were not. But there are 14 people so far that have had promising results from this. And I don't know. That's not a very large scale. They may have, you know, I don't know how picky they were about the people who went through the study. So it's a very hopeful thing. Promising thing. Now, along the, you know, now to go from there, right off the deep end, as I usually do. Charles Payne, for those of you who don't know, I don't know if you know Charles Payne, he's a guy on Fox that is I think he's on Fox Business. I think he has his own show on Fox Business, I think it is. He's a financial guy. What I really like and appreciate about Charles is he is just a straightforward guy. This guy came from nothing. I mean, he knew growing up. He actually had a normal life growing up, struggles. You know, looking back on life, I don't remember a time where I ever went hungry. I never gave second thought about food. But as I look back on some of the times that I ate, I realize what I was eating was probably, we probably were having some hard times. And I do remember some times when I was being fed that Mom and Dad weren't eating. Now, there wasn't much to eat. And they were fixing me stuff like toasted cheese and hot dogs. And there were times when they weren't, I noticed there were a couple of times they weren't eating. I remember that as a child. I mean, I remember stuff way back. I was really, really young. Kind of freaky sometimes how I've actually freaked my parents out. Some of the things I've remembered from when I was literally not even a year old. I have memories of stuff. And I know we had some pretty tough times. And I know that my dad struggled. It was a one-income family. My mom didn't work. That's just the way it was back then. And now it's, of course, it's not that way at all. Everybody just assumes you have to have a two-income family. That's just normal. That's just natural. You have to have both parents have to work, of course. Didn't used to be that way. Now, times were a little bit tough. And this is back when gas was 20 cents a gallon. It's a little bit more than that now. Now, you realize inflation does not have to happen. Inflation is something that is controlled by the money changers. The people behind this, the whole, and I won't get into all this stuff, and this is, of course, it's conspiracy theory, tinfoil hat stuff. You know, there are conspiracy theories, and then there's the tinfoil hat conspiracy theory stuff. There are conspiracies out there. People do conspire to do you wrong. People can also conspire to do things good for you. There are people who conspire to do things that they think are going to help the public, and they are terribly, horribly wrong on the philosophical foundation of what they're trying to do. And there are some people just downright evil. They're in it for themselves. They love the power. They are so drunk on power, they don't even recognize it themselves. One of the, let's go off on this tangent here for a moment. One of the things that Oh, no, I'm going to stick with this because I don't want to forget. If I go off on this tangent, I'll probably forget about this whole interview. I think her name's Harris Faulkner. I always forget her name, and because it's such a unique, that's a strange name, Harris Faulkner. It's not like Betty Bartow or something like this. I think it's Harris Faulkner. She is on, she's on Fox as well in the afternoon. I hardly ever get to see news or watch many clips from stuff in the afternoons. And I try to stay away from Fox Business because I cannot stand Neil Cavuto. I don't necessarily disagree with anything that financially that Neil Cavuto talks about. I can't stand the way he talks. I can't stand his voice. It grates on me. Everything about his voice just does not. I can actually stand running my fingernails across a chalkboard. But I cannot stand Neil Cavuto's voice. Part of it too is that I don't appreciate, Neil Cavuto is an establishment guy. He's big on, if he's got any political bent at all, it is establishment GOP. He did not like Trump. And you have to understand, I'm not a big Trump guy because I like Trump necessarily. I'm a big Trump guy because he's not establishment. The draw for me with Trump is, and I don't believe for a second any of this baloney about him being a racist white supremacist. This is just, everything is racist. I'm reminded of the little, if you remember the story, the movie. What was the little Lego people? Everything is awesome. Remember that little song? Everything is awesome. And only when I think of the left, I think of the little song. Everything is racist. That's the way I think of it. So I gotta wash that down with some water. So this is the kind of thing. Back to Charles Payne. Back to somebody I like to listen to. Charles is just a straightforward, tell it like it is, explain it in common English guy. Understands the market, understands what I think has a good finger on the pulse of America in terms of what drives, how we make decisions in our day-to-day life and how that drives the economy. And it was a really good interview. Harris Faulkner and Charles Payne were talking. I think it was Harris's show. I think, what is the name of her show in the afternoon? I don't know what it's called. It was a really good interview. It went on for about 10 minutes. It wasn't good news. Charles has a good understanding of the spiral cyclic mentality of what happens and how things drive each other in terms of economy. Like when the energy prices go up or this and that goes up, this causes that to happen and this causes a circular effect. He has a better understanding of this, apparently, than anybody in the administration currently trying to operate dysfunctionally in the White House right now. They have no clue what's going on. They're hoping. Recently, there was an interview that, I believe, who was it that had to... was talking. I can't remember who was talking. I think it was somebody from the administration. And they were going on about, they were being interviewed by somebody, even on MSNBC. And they were saying, well, the president is looking for, maybe it was a press conference. President is looking to Congress for ideas. In other words, president's all out of ideas. There's nothing more they can do about this inflation stuff. It's because, Putin, it's gotta be Putin's fault. They couldn't blame Trump. They realized that was too far of a reach. So they went with Putin. So this is Putin's fault. So Putin now basically, by going into Ukraine, has crushed the U.S. economy. How does that happen? All he had to do was invade one country and we're going downhill. Granholm, the energy secretary, recently was interviewed, and she's hopeful, and she believes that this is going to top out. We're nearing the peak right now of the fuel prices, about a little over five bucks a gallon. I think the national average right now is like $4.98 or $4.99.8. It's $5. They probably adjusted the numbers and took the lowest mean they could, took something out that made it under $5 to make it just so they could say it's under $5. That's how these people do spin stuff. When it gets that close, you'd say, no, it's $5. Just call it $5. In my area, my area is normally right on the national average. I mean, right on it, within 10 cents anyway. And it's $5.25 right now in my area. So I have a hard time believing that it's under five, under, because that was the numbers that just came out last week. And they always do this at the end of the week. Yeah, it's four nine something. The inflation rate is much higher than they thought. Now, think about this. If you have $100 in your hand that you worked, say you worked 5 hours to earn that $100, or maybe you worked all day. You put in a day's work and you got that $100 in your hand after taxes. You got this $100 in your hand. And you hold on to it. And you could go out and buy a tank of gas for $50 because you got a truck. You know, it's got a big tank in it. And say 6 months later, you go to buy that tank of gas that you worked those same hours for. Got paid that same amount. And you went, you took that money, and you went to put gas in your truck, and now all of a sudden, it's $100. It takes a whole $100 bill. You were going to go out, put gas in the truck, and then go to dinner. Now you can't go to dinner. Or you can buy half a tank of gas and go to dinner, maybe. This is where we're at here, folks. It's the same work, and the same work you just did today that made the same amount of money is now not going to be able to, inflation is robbing you of the of your dollar's value, which in turn robs you of your value as a worker. You may be making more money now than you made 6 months ago, but it's costing you twice as much to live. I guarantee you aren't making twice as much in your paycheck. And the cyclical part of this, the thing that's a spiral, that's a downward spiral. And it's in a spiral in this respect with the economy. It's kind of hard to understand. If you can imagine not just a spiral that goes down like a penny, like if you drop one of those pennies on one of those little yellow things that they have out for like Make-A-Wish, they have like, you can put a penny in there and you can watch the penny roll, and it rolls down this little tube and it rolls and rolls and rolls around. That's like down a funnel, and it goes down to the end and it kind of spins at the very end. And then it goes into the thing. That's the way they get their pennies. People put coins in this little slot and it comes out and rolls around. It's supposed to be entertaining. Well, they take your money. Then your money's gone, but at least you got a penny's worth of entertainment. Or you can put a 25 cent piece in there. Put a quarter. They call it a quarter. Put that in there. Or you can even probably try an Elizabethan dollar, whatever it is, a little coin. Or you could try, 50 cent or 50. Oh, what is it? Silver dollar. You could put a silver dollar in there and see what it does. See how that works. Still going to take your money. At the end of the day, you're still looking down a hole. Well, think of a spiral like that, only it's not just a spiral that's perfectly level. It's a spiral that's maybe canted a little bit. So things don't just necessarily go down and keep going down. The inflation, just like inflation rate prices in your wages, they might flux down and then they kind of seem to come back, but not quite all the way. And then they kind of go back down again further. The dipping keeps happening. And because that's what drives the cycle. Now, the Fed, you have to understand, the Fed actually likes inflation. When you're printing money out of nothing and you print $10 and you hand it out to a group, here's $10, there's three or four people out here. I'm going to pay you each a dollar you know, today and a dollar tomorrow. And then as that, and you can go out and buy all this stuff with a dollar. You can buy your weekly groceries with that dollar. That dollar lasts you a whole week. Well, the next week, you know, I print more money and give it out to more people. Now there's more money in circulation. So now the dollar's not worth as much. See, that's where people get disconnected. Why isn't it worth as much? I can still go out and buy. No, because now that dollar's not worth as much because there's more of it. If I gave you each $100 instead of a dollar, now the people who need stuff, they raise their prices because the demand is there and the people are willing to pay a higher price. And then it just all cycles out of control because it's complicated. But if you do the math on this, it's very simple. You can't just continue down this road of energy prices going up. And they can't figure it out. They're sitting there going, well, what can we do? We can't do anything. There's nothing we can do to stop this. The trigger point with this whole thing, now, I don't remember, a while back when we were having the lumber shortage. And I mentioned on this show that this is a trigger. This is we will look back and see that this was the first step in our, the peephole, if you will, the first indicator that we are headed for a supply chain crisis that will eventually spiral out of control. We are still in a supply chain crisis, by the way. It affects some things more than others. Now, baby formula, of course, is going to make headline news, and other things are not. However, as this continues to happen, the other thing that throws literally fuel on the fire here is the energy prices. Energy prices are high because this administration shut down production. They can say that they didn't all, oh, there's still 9,000 contracts out there for people to drill on. You realize drilling, if they acted on those contracts right now, those are just leases, permits to drill eventually. It's just for exploration. They don't even know if there's oil in those places or not. Oh, so you want them to just exercise all 9,000 of those? This was a ruse. This is just more of the charade that we continue to get from the Washington establishment actors in their spin rooms trying to make all this sound right so that they can stay in power. And this January 6th commission, folks, by the way, is just, it's an embarrassment to our nation. This is ridiculous. And the fact that they've got Merrick Garland, I'm telling you, this guy is at the pin. He's the point that this thing all balances on. When the January 6th commission, they don't have their own police force. They don't have the rule of law. They can just issue a, who went and got Navarro? Who were the actual officers that picked up Navarro? Whose authority were they acting on? Who does that chain of command go back to? Merrick Garland, the Attorney General. He's the one who signed off on this. He didn't look and say, oh, look, the January 6th Commission was not established according to the Constitution, according to the, not the Constitution, but the rules that were put in place that have been acted on for the last 200 years. So we're just going to go ahead and enforce it anyway. Give them the force of law. They're acting like the judicial right now. They're having a trial in absentia. The trial is of Donald Trump, but they can't call Donald Trump to the stand. Well, he texted this and he said that, so he must have meant this. I heard an interview. Brian Kilmeade was interviewing Geraldo Rivera. Geraldo's a very confused individual. He's a very messed up guy. He has no moral underpinnings at all. And I think he calls himself a Republican, but he's not, folks. He's not a conservative, that's for sure. He might be an establishment Republican. But he's as left can be. He bleeds leftism. But Charles and Harris were having this conversation, and it was just really good. If you get a chance to listen to it, it's good to listen. It's not a happy thing, but it's definitely a very real conversation. And it's, you know, hunker down, folks. This is not going to get better anytime soon. Granholm basically was saying that she's hoping. She believes now that gas is going to get down to, you know, $4 a gallon, maybe the upper threes by fall. That's still twice as much as we were paying 2 years ago. And of course, they're going to try to get some relief on the gas prices. That they want the prices to stay high. They don't want the prices to go back to where they were. Don't get me wrong here. They do not want that. They did not expect the gas prices to go this high this fast and have this much effect, because that's a little too much before an election. Here's the quandary. Here's their dilemma. They need prices to be high. This has been spoken out loud by a lot of people on the left. In fact, Barack Obama was one of those who said gas prices go high, it will drive people to alternative energy. They want gas prices high to drive people to alternative energy. They do not understand how this works at all. When gas prices were low, people were buying electric cars. Why? Well, first, they do kind of buy into this. Some people do buy into this whole carbon thing, carbon footprint thing, which is a farce as well. You have to ask yourself, speaking of which, why is the left so... Do you think the left really cares about the planet? Do you think they really care about you and the future? They care about their future. You really think they buy into this whole alternative energy thing? They don't. Just let me tell you, they do not. This is not their motivation. This is not their goal. They don't care about the planet. Oh, the world's going to end in 12 years if we don't. No, it's not going to end in 12 years. That was, how many years ago was that she said that? They're still saying 12 years. They've always given this 15 to 20 year, 12 years. Oh, it's always 12 years. Al Gore said the same thing. 12 years. Got 12 years. This was back in the 90s. How do you... That was over 20 years ago. And now it just keeps, well, because we know, because we've made strides to keep extending it out there. You know, the problem is they have found a way to bilk you, a political issue that they made it into a political issue. And it's, sadly, there's just, if you follow the money here, this what I'm getting at is, if you follow the money trail and see who's behind these people and why they feel the way they do about this stuff, you'll suddenly realize that it the whole alternative energy thing, the green economy, the green party, whatever you want to call it, the greenies out there, it's all about political power. It has nothing to do with the planet. They are emboldened and impassioned. Some of them actually believe this stuff. Don't get me wrong. They are impassioned with it and think that it's the driving force. We have to save the planet. Here I come to save the day. It's like kind of one of those, oh, you, and we got to do this. We got to buckle down. We got to do this. And yet the planet just keeps on doing its thing. If you listen to the actual, with one thing has taught, we should have taught us in the last 2 years is that these people do not understand what science is. They always want to say, follow the science. The science is whatever they feel like at the moment. And all of a sudden they realize they were wrong. Oh, look at the science has changed. We're evolving on the science. No, that's not what science is. I mean, you can't, there are some things we don't understand right today, but there are things that, I just heard this one scientist the other day that was talking about how we thought that the world did, you know, the planets did this and did that and whatever else. And then we realized it's actually not that way. It's this way. He never said he was wrong, actually. He was very clever about the way he said it. But he said, but then we discovered this and it made a change in our theory. Well, that means you were wrong. You were wrong in something you were telling us emphatically was this is science and this is the way it is. And then you had to change that. I guess we were wrong about that. Now, they have recently found footprints, by the way, from the Ice Age. Human footprints. We were told that there were, that in certain areas, that we were told that there were no humans at that time. And this is where it gets bizarre, is there are also what they call dinosaur footprints as well in the same area. And mammoth footprints. Well, that doesn't work because dinosaurs weren't around when people were around. Millions of years ago. Doesn't fit their little thing, does it? It does, however, fit right in with the flood. But we won't talk about that because that didn't happen. Because, you know, that goes along with, you know, someone being swallowed by a fish. And we're not going to go along with that. Are we? No, are we? But, you know, can't talk about that. But we will. I'm going to talk about it. If you ever get a chance to go to the Creation Museum. Now, the problem with the Creation Museum, it's done very well, by the way. The Creation Museum, as well as the Ark Encounter. Very good. Very well done. The only, it's not really critical, it's not a bad thing, is you have to do a lot of reading. If you do a lot of reading there, I mean, they have placards up and posters and things to read there. If you take the time to go through, I mean, now it would take you all day. All day. Like if you get there when it opens and you read through the whole thing, and if you are going to be able to take in a speaker as well, they usually have a speaker there at some point. And you need to get there early enough to get through the whole thing and read all the stuff. Because it is a very compelling, I would say convincing, argument that they have for all of their I'll call it hypotheses, even though it's, I wouldn't call it a hypothesis anymore. It's pretty much self-evident when we start understanding how they put this together, because it makes perfect sense, which, you know, makes more sense than anything I've heard from anything about just an accidental, you know, planet starting up and life forming somehow weird kind of ways, and that this, the whole, you know, yeah. Especially carbon dating, that's a whole other issue too, but we'll get into that. So I'll leave you with that. This is going to be a short show this morning because I do have to get going. I'm going to try to walk my dogs and I have to get to a flight, have to catch a flight here in a couple hours. So it's going to be a short day, but... Yes, so there you have it, folks. The world keeps going around. They're trying to make this out to be Trump was directly involved with directing the Proud Boys. Somehow they've put that together. He was all upset and mad and bitter about losing the election. Well, you know, Hillary wasn't upset or mad about losing the election, was she? And maybe she didn't do anything, you know, to influence Trump's presidency afterwards or even before the election. Did she? James Comey. She didn't do anything illegal. Did she? She didn't have direct... Look, the problem is Trump didn't direct. There are people who are saying, well, his son was telling him that he should go out on television and tell those people to stop. I got news for you. When somebody's breaking into the White, they don't have a television strapped on their arm. There's no way you can. He gave the last speech he gave to those people who were going down to the White House. Now, believe it or not, before he finished his speech, there were already people down at the White House, at the Capitol building. He did not himself go to the Capitol building. The last thing he said was, "Go down there and peacefully, patriotically make your voices known." Now, as he was saying that, there were people that were at the Capitol building. There is lots of video that the council, the committee, hasn't even shown yet. Now, you have to understand, they're saying the Republicans didn't want to get involved in this. Yes, the Republicans did want to get involved in it. They appointed two people, Banks and Jordan. And you didn't accept those two people. You just said, no, we're not going to take those, but we will take Cheney and Kinzinger. We're going to pick them ourselves. This is a one-sided affair, folks. And you can't tell me, I thought Liz Cheney was very credible and did a very good job. I'm going to pat her on the head. Liz Cheney has a major issue with Donald Trump. So does Kinzinger. I'm not going to go down those rabbit holes, but to think that this is a nonpartisan thing is absolutely stupid, first of all. And the other thing is, it's not set up the way it's supposed to be set up. They didn't set this up according to the rules. And you have to ask yourself, why was the White House Capitol Police on half staff that day? Why were they not full staff? Everybody on board, all hands on deck. We've got hundreds of thousands of people out here. That's a day, like a day like today, there's nothing going on. Be half staffed. That's fine. A day when you know, if you think that this democracy thing that's happening on that day, our whole democracy hinges on that day of the electors being able to do their job. Everything hinged on that 1 minute. Our entire country could have fallen apart right there. Could have lost the entire country. No, you could have lost control of the country. Your control of the country. I don't think that any one of those people who were trying to break in and had any intention of doing anything, if there was any that had any intention of doing anything, I don't think that they had any intention of taking over the country. Now, of course, because Trump was going to take, because he was going to take control. He was going to keep control of the country. We're going to overthrow a duly elected president. Well, that hinges on the issue of, was it a duly elected, was he actually duly elected? Now, of course, they can't give any credibility to that, to the election issues. If you've seen 2000 Mules, you're going to be furious. I don't know if you've seen it or not. But this is, I have not even actually seen the movie. I've only seen interviews of True the Vote and understand what the process that they did and the things that they have right now. The whole movie kind of hinges around True the Vote information and some of the credibility that they have. And they do have credibility, folks. This is not good. And of course, this is going to make people realize, hey, well, Trump was right. They did steal the election. And it's no wonder he was upset about this, because I'm going to say it, Joe Biden was not duly elected. There was no credibility in that election. It was stolen from the American people. You want to talk about affront to democracy? They keep talking about democracy. It's a front to our republic. Even Tucker Carlson tried to explain this the other night. He said, "Wow, he really got on him last night. He was right on the money, but he was mad. At one point, he got a little confused because he was trying to define a democracy. He said, well, what democracy is when you do this and do that, and you elect officials and they go down and represent you. No, that's not a democracy, actually. We use a democratic process. Not a Democrat process, a democratic process. Was it, who was it that first acknowledged the democracy, the democracy principle? Was it Theocracies? Who was one of those guys? Philosophers. Talked about pure democracy. A pure democracy is majority rule. In a country where you have rights as an individual, you don't have majority rule. The Democrats would love to have majority rule because that's democratic. Well, if all the people want this, then that's the way it should go. If 60% of the people think that you shouldn't have guns, then you shouldn't have guns. No, that's not the way it works. 99% of the people can think that I shouldn't have the right to carry or keep or bear, own or carry a sidearm. And guess what? Too bad for you. You lose, you 99%, because the Constitution gives me as an individual the right to do that. And you can't vote that out because it's an enumerated right. You can't take that from me without due process. Now they can try to make all kinds of things illegal, but there is a reason why it said shall not be infringed. Infringement is any kind of restriction or obstruction to exercise that right. Guess what? They are doing that all the time. And that has got to stop. So, what is the motivation from them? Well, it's power and control and money. Selfishness. It's their own self-protection, their own self-greed. Their political careers, all motivated out of this delusion that they are somehow for the people, for the children, it's for the children. Nancy Pelosi comes out and talks about how it's all for the children, it's for the children, it's for the children. Do you really believe she cares about anybody's children? But her, you know, maybe her grandkids, maybe. Yeah. But the good news is they may have a cure for cancer. Many types of cancer, at least. Now, who knows what the side effects of this thing are going to be? But we know what the side effects of cancer are. I think that in this case, it may be one of those deals where the risks certainly outweigh. I'm sorry, the risks. Oh, how does that go? The cure is far better than the risks of the potential risks of the drug, I guess. I don't know. Unless it turns everybody into zombies and they start becoming flesh-eating, brain-eating zombies or something. I don't know. That could be a problem. Maybe the cancer thing wouldn't be as bad as that. I don't know. It's close. It's a close call. Anyway, God bless everybody. Have a great weekend. See you next week.